Case number 10-5349, Judicial Watch, Inc., Appellant versus Federal Housing Finance Agency. Mr. Peterson for appellant, Mr. Freeman for appellee.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The Supreme Court has often said that it is important that a court presume that Congress means what it says and says what it means. In this Freedom of Information Act case today, we are faced with that situation where Congress has said that the records of the previously independent government-sponsored enterprises, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, are now the title of the records have been transferred to the agency in this case.
What if these records were disclosed to you, what would they tell you about the agency's method of doing business, right? That's the purpose of FOIA, right? So that we understand what's going on in a government agency. So what would these records tell you about FHFA?
They will tell us, Your Honor, why, for example, the taxpayer is on the hook for many hundreds of billions of dollars in trying to save these previously independent agencies.
How will these records help us understand what FHFA is doing?
At a minimum,
that's the touchstone, right?
At a minimum, FHFA has directed these previously independent entities to cease their political activity. So they've at least done enough work and issued enough directives such that they've touched on the political activities of these entities.
The agency said they've never read these documents. They've never used these documents at all.
Well, first, that's an interesting question of whether it's consistent with the agency's mission in trying to resolve the affairs.
Have you all challenged that declaration? Have you taken issue with that?
We don't necessarily challenge that they may not have read some of these documents. But the question in this case is the test put forth by the Supreme Court in terms of does the agency have custody and does it have control of the records?
Those are the only questions we're supposed to ask?
Those are the touchstones, yes.
We've asked other questions, haven't we, in the D.C. Circuit, after tax analysts. Those aren't the only two questions we've asked. We've fleshed those out a bit.
This court has, but in none of those cases...
One of the things that you said is that you have to use them, right?
The key from tax analysts on down...
We want to know what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac did. And, you know, we all want to know that. That's a very interesting question. But is FOIA the right tool to do this? FOIA will get you information about how FHFA runs its affairs, right? You're not claiming that these are agency records simply because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac had them, right?
We are claiming...
No, you're claiming that because FHFA now is the conservator.
We are claiming because under the plain statutory language, the title to these records, and at least until recently this has never been contested, the title to these records has been transferred to the agency.
Is this sufficient?
This is a unique, it shows in the most comprehensive of a way.
So what are we supposed to do with our four-part test that's gained looking at the totality of the circumstances here? You're saying ignore that?
Not at all. That is exactly right. Is that the totality of the circumstances is what is important. As we've tried to explain, this case is a little bit different than these other cases. This is not a question of personal papers in somebody's file cabinet. This is not a question of a government contractor that might have some related documents. This is a different case. This is a question of where Congress has already said in this situation that title has been transferred, and this court can follow that and should interpret it along those lines.
So you want us to come up with a rule that title alone is sufficient to create an agency record?
It's title. It's the undisputed operational and full operational and management control of these previously independent entities.
So two, title and control. What about use? What do you want us to do with the use problem?
Well, in this case, use is not as significant a factor.
It's not a factor at all. There's no use, right?
That's one part of the three-part test. We have not argued that particular factor might. Again, the four-part test is intended to be flexible.
The other part of the test is integration in the agency's files, right?
And that's
you don't do well on that test either, right?
Well,
it's two for two.
It depends. That's where we would take exception. Integration into the agency's files was in different circumstances where those cases, this case, they've been integrated in the sense that Congress has said, these are yours, these are your records, title has been transferred. In any meaningful way, they are a part of the agency's files. That has never been in dispute, that the agency has the ability to search for and produce these records if it would comply with the FOIA request. So for the agency to come back
and tell me again what we're going to learn about the workings of the FHFA.
We're going to learn about the background, hopefully. We're going to learn about the background of how we got into this mess and what this is our window of opportunity to find out how we got here and how the taxpayer ended up in this situation.
What does that have to do with the way the FHFA operates?
FHFA is responsible for cleaning up this mess. An integral part of how we got here is the political activities of these previously independent entities. It is undisputed that they had extensive political activity. They were fierce political players, making hundreds of millions of dollars in campaign donations, and it was played a clear role in how we got to this point today, where these entities had to be taken over and bailed out by the taxpayer. That's what we're asking for.
I want to ask you about your reading of this statute. You told us in your first sentence that we have to follow the rule that Congress says what it means and means what it says. So you say the statute says that the FHFA succeeds to the title, right, to all the books, et cetera, right? But it says title to the books, records, that's what you're relying on, right?
Correct.
And assets of any other legal custodian. That's not Fannie Mae or Freddie Mae. That's not them. This is any other legal custodian. And there hasn't been another legal custodian, has there?
There has not been another
legal custodian. So I don't see how this statute even applies.
But it's important. It's important
to
look at this.
You told us we had to follow the language of the statute. You say FHFA succeeds to title to the, quote, title to the, quote, records. But you've left off of any other legal custodian.
There's an and. You're correct, Your Honor. There is an and there. And that interpretation, this argument that
Where's an and? It says two. Title to the records of any other legal custodian.
I believe the statute with respect says and assets of any other legal custodian. So viewed.
Do you agree with me that we read in the same statute? It says here, title to the books, records, and assets of any other legal custodian. Right?
That is correct.
Are we reading the same statute?
Yes.
Well, so where's the legal custodian?
If there was another legal custodian, but there hasn't been.
Well, that's why this statute doesn't apply.
Well, that is an interpretation that was never offered by the agency below.
I'm just reading you the language of the statute. I don't need an agency interpretation of that statute to read. That's all I'm saying.
There's something in addition that in your response to Judge Tatel, it says, of any other legal custodian of such regulated entity. The regulated entity is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So it's a legal custodian of them,
But who is that legal custodian to whom these books and records are now transferred to FHFA?
Well, I view that last part of that provision as a catch-all, that if there were assets of there were assets in the possession of some third party, then those assets are also transferred to the agency.
Who's the third party?
The statute is sort of a catch-all in case there was such a third party to take care of any assets. It's like leaving records in a lawyer's office of a third party. If records are in a third party's possession, then those are also transferred over when the agency takes over the entity. So, but it's also important to look at the previous provision. It's undisputed that all rights and titles are of the in management control is vested in the agency. There is no question that they have full title, they have full control and operational management ability over the entities. And that inherently includes the ability to use and dispose of records as they wish. That's what is issue here.
The second clause, or the first clause, is odd. All rights, titles, powers, and privileges. What does titles mean there? It sounds like CEO.
Well,
all rights, titles, powers, and privileges. You know, the chief financial officer, the CEO, the COO. It doesn't sound like title to books.
Well, if that's one way to look at it, in which would make sense of why the subsequent provision would cover that. Although it would be kind of strange that a CEO, that all the rights and titles of CEO does not include the ability to access and use the records of the entity that...
Then we're on a slippery slope. I mean, if that's your argument, the ability to view and use... the Department of Agriculture can go into a meatpacking plant and have access to and use all the records of the meatpacking plant. That doesn't mean that those records, simply because they're regulated by the Department of Agriculture, become agency records, does it?
Absolutely not. But to my knowledge, there hasn't been a statute adopted by Congress that transfers title to the meatpacking records to the agency. This was a unique circumstance. To deal with the financial collapse, they made a special provision allowing for it to the records of the agencies to be transferred over.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Mark Freeman for the government. As Judge Griffith noted earlier, the records in this case have never been seen or touched by any agency employee. They were created prior to the conservatorship. They've never been collected, used, relied upon by the agency.
Is that the most important factor in this case?
That it was prior to the
that it was never used by.
Yeah, I mean, I think as our brief lays out, the district court here quite correctly held that under this court's four-part test, these records cannot in any sense be described as the records of the Federal Housing Finance Agency. Now, there was a predicate.
They had control over them, right? I mean,
in
they had access to them, they had control over them, they had title to them. They're theirs, right?
Well, no, Your Honor. We disagree with, I think, every one of those premises. But on the control question, let me just get to that first.
Yeah, you made a very general statement there, and I want to make sure that I understand it. When did the FHFA take
the agency,
over?
We'll just call it the agency. Yes,
take
yeah.
over.
In September 2008.
2008.
So yes.
The agency was on board for a period of time before this FOIA request came in.
That is correct, yes.
And is it also true that the agency prohibited Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac from making political contributions at some point after the agency took over?
Yeah, in September 2008. It was one of the first actions of the conservatorship, yes.
Well, all records relating to that transaction are covered by this FOIA request.
They would be, yes, Your Honor.
And so those documents should be turned over. Were they?
The records of the agency itself?
Of the agency plus the response, whatever internal response and internal memoranda that Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae generated in response to the agency's directive.
So let me take that in parts. This is all set out in the declaration of David Felt. It's in the record, beginning at about page 30 of the joint appendix. The agency did a search in response to this FOIA request for anything related to political contributions by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, right within the terms of the FOIA request, and found no responsive records. That's all set out in the declarations, which are uncontested. Now, what the agency did not do was search the corporate records of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, records it had never seen, used, relied upon, collected, or incorporated into its own files.
What if those records were generated in response to the agency's directive?
So if they were generated by the corporations
in response to the agency's directive?
Yes.
The agency was the custodian?
Those records are not records of the agency. They were generated by private corporations in response to a regulator's request. And as Your Honor noted earlier, that is true of countless regulated entities in the American economy. The question here is the agency did everything it was responsible for doing, which is search its record systems for anything responsible to this FOIA request. What plaintiff's argument here is that records that no agency employee has ever seen or touched, never been incorporated in any record systems, never been used or relied upon for any purpose, are nonetheless agency records under the FOIA. They don't cite any case that has ever held records that are that far removed from an agency to be subject to the FOIA, and we're not aware of any.
What does that statute mean when it says all rights, titles, powers, and privileges of the regulated entity?
I think what it means, Your Honor, the exact same phrase was construed by the Supreme Court in the O'Melveny and Myers case, O'Melveny and Myers versus FDIC. The language was identical. And the Supreme Court said that what that means is that the statute creates a legal guardianship. They said the agency steps into the shoes of the private regulated entity and exercises its powers with regard to its property and assets in its name. So putting it in the context of the FOIA, it's not that the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac become the government. They're not annexed by the agency. They're not nationalized. Instead, they don't become us. If anything, we become them. We can act in their name, exercising their powers and rights and privileges as to their property and assets in order to conserve and preserve their property and reorganize their affairs.
Does it mean that the agency has title to the records?
It does not mean the agency has title to the records, Your Honor. It means the agency can exercise Fannie Mae's title to its records. And this is
all titles of the regulated entity go to the agency. What does that mean?
What it means, Your Honor, is just what the Supreme Court said, which is that we step into their shoes and act as them, but it doesn't mean that they're...
Act as them, but they had title, and now you do.
We can exercise their title to their records. We succeed to their title to their records. Now, I realize this sounds like something of an existential distinction, but let me be clear. This is the fiction in which we engage when we talk about extraordinary reorganizational powers. It's the same as in bankruptcy. A trustee in bankruptcy can act through and on behalf of a corporation in Chapter 11. It can exercise all rights and titles that the corporation has. But you don't describe the property of the bankrupt corporation as the property of the trustee. And the same thing is true here. That's why the statute, although it has this rights, titles, and powers language, also throughout the statute, as we point out in our brief, distinguishes between the property and assets of the regulated entities, on the one hand, and the property of the agency, on the other. The whole point
is the simplest way for you to prevail, for us to say that there was no use. Does that, if there's no use, does that end the inquiry?
Yeah, as to these records,
the four-part test.
The four-part use is one of the parts of the four-part test. So, but in general, yes, the four-part test this court has explicated. It's a way of getting at what it means to be an agency record, which is the only statutory term we're interpreting. And the court has emphasized in each of those different factors has a different valence in certain contexts. You know, like in the United We Stand America case, there was an emphasis on what did the creator of the records want. That was Congress. But in this context, where the creator of the records, records created long ago before there was any possibility of a conservatorship, that can't have much bearing. And what ought to matter, we think, as the district court said, is, look, no agency employee has ever seen or touched these things. They don't tell you anything about it.
I want to go back.
Yes.
Fannie Mae has this big, large building on Wisconsin Avenue.
Yes.
As you're coming into Georgetown, it's a magnificent structure, right? Who has title to that building now?
Fannie Mae has title to that building. Now, the agency...
How can Fannie Mae have title when the agency... immediately succeeded to the regulated entity, which is Fannie Mae's assets.
Your Honor,
asset of Fannie Mae.
It is. It is, absolutely. But let me explain. The agency, acting as and in the name of Fannie Mae, could sell that building. We could sell that building. We could sell any business of Fannie Mae's.
Because the agency has title to it.
Because the agency.
By operational law.
As Fannie Mae, as conservator. As the statute doesn't say the agency, period. It says the agency as conservator succeeds.
No, it says the agency.
It says
the agency,
no. This,
as conservator or receiver, by operation of law, immediately succeeds.
Yes.
To the title of the building on Wisconsin Avenue.
Yes, we succeed. And again, Your Honor, one has to read the statute in light of the scheme that is created here. And the Supreme Court interpreted the same phrase to talk about it in exactly this way. No one suggests that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have been nationalized, that their property is now the public land of the United States. This is instead, quite consciously, a creation by Congress of a conservatorship, which is a well-known thing in the law. It is the exact same process modeled on exactly what happens by the FDIC to every depository institution in the United States if it fails. And it is a legal guardianship in which we can act by and through them to reorganize their assets. But their records don't become agency records any more than their employees become federal employees or their property becomes federal property. The statute explicitly and thoroughly and extensively continues that distinction. After all, the whole point here is that these corporations, which were critical to the American economy, get spun back out at the end of this conservatorship period as corporations again. And, you know, I was interested by opposing counsel's phrase, window of opportunity, right? I mean, we can ask that question. Do we think that Congress, which wanted these corporations to be rescued in their time of distress, meant that in the limited temporary period in which they go through federal reorganization, to invite the whole world to rifle through their corporate documentary archives? It strains credulity to think so. This is not a strange animal. It is a form of legal protectorship or guardianship, and it is not the same as their records becoming their agency's
it's
records.
Not clear which Congress we ought to be, if we're worried about congressional intent, whether it should be the Congress that passed this FHFA
yes.
legislation, or should it be the Congress that passed the Freedom of Information Act?
Your Honor, I think that we know that the Congress that passed the Freedom of Information Act did not define the term agency records. This court has a lot of decisions explicating that term. And as the district court held, I think quite correctly, under the test this court uses for that term, these are not agency records. No agency employee has ever looked at or touched them. And no court has ever found that records of that kind are agency records under the FOIA.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Does Mr. Peterson have any time left?
No.
Okay, you can take 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Very briefly. A couple of quick points. Counsel specifically suggested that this situation is similar to which other situations, bankruptcy and other areas of the law, including which the FDIC takes over failed financial institutions. This was only touched on very briefly in the briefs of this court, but it was more extensively briefed below, when the FDIC takes over an institution, the law is quite clear, including the law from this court, that the FDIC is subject to a FOIA request for records of entities that it takes over in receivership. We didn't find any law specifically relating to the conservatorship, but to the extent that the agency and the records of an institution that is taken over by the FDIC, which is comparable, as counsel suggested, clearly shows that FOIA applies. There is no exemption. And that's why O'Melveny, also cited to by counsel, supports that proposition as well. As far as who has title, we don't have to resolve the question today of whether or not FHFA can sell the building on Wisconsin Avenue. All we have to answer is, are they subject to a FOIA request for these records? It's a much narrower question and a simpler question. The question, in this case, the FOIA request seeks records relating to the political activities. As Judge Randolph suggested, there should at least be something that is within the scope of the FOIA request. And that's what we're interested here today. And
but you don't challenge their affidavit that nobody at FHFA looked at these documents. I mean, I see your point. Your point is if they had looked at the documents in order to issue their order to Fannie Mae to stop political activities, you would have a different case. But they say nobody looked at those documents. They weren't integrated into the records. And you don't challenge that.
That's only one part in a highly unique circumstance.
Isn't that a critical part to this?
It is a part. I will agree.
Is
and if, we went, if one follows the four-part test, that would not be a factor. But in the totality of the circumstances where the title has been transferred, there's no reason to shield from the public the records of these failed entities.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. The case is submitted.